And what's with all these Seinfeld people being back on TV? Michael Richards was on recently.
I don't think it's a surprise that a show where they there was no hugging and no learning, right? Wasn't that the Seinfeld kind of ethos for the show? Of course they all feel this way.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Vince is off. Mike Spaulding in studio. Hey, buddy. Good to have you. Debbie Lazka is also off. Adam Roberts has got your roads. And Greg Pancake Hill is doing everything else on this Wednesday, June 12th. So today marks a 30th anniversary. It's been 30 years since this happened. I'll get you 1 second to think about it. It was June 1994. What could it be? It was the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
If Nicole Brown Simpson were alive today, she would have been 65 years old. Ron Goldman would be 55. It was a murder case the world watched.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So many years after the murders, Nicole's sisters talking to our Diane Sawyer about what she would be like today.
Oh my gosh, what would she look like?
Beautiful.
I know.
She'd be fit.
Ron Goldman's family members are still fighting for money they never received from a civil judgment against O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's right. ABC's Alex Stone there. Yeah, so 2 years after the acquittal, O.J. was found liable of the duo's wrongful death, ordered to pay more than $33 million in damages. They never got paid, and he died earlier this year. As far as that trial goes, enormous.
More people watched the O.J. Simpson preliminary hearing than actually watched Gulf War coverage. There was something called Camp O.J., a parking lot across the street from the trial, from the courthouse. And there were over 1,000 credentialed journalists from around the world who covered the case.
Yes, it was quite the spectacle. That was Lori Levinson, a Loyola law professor and former federal prosecutor. 30 years ago today, we saw the Nicole Brown sisters on the networks the last couple of weeks, I think leading up to this date.
Well, after O.J.'s death last month, there's a new documentary out, I think, on ID or something like that with Nicole Brown Simpson's family.
Yeah.
So I think it's just kind of been brought back into the general zeitgeist. Obviously, 30 years is a big one. This is like one of my first concrete media memories.
Is that right?
I remember like sitting in front of a TV at my grandparents' house. I was probably 10 years old, and all the TV networks went to The Chase.
Yeah. Oh,
and at that age, you don't really understand why this is happening. You know what I mean? You're just like upset of why isn't the baseball game on or whatever that I was,
watching.
Not really understanding. But yeah, this was like peak monoculture kind of, as far as our viewing habits go and our knowledge and kind of being one as a country, which is weird.
Yeah, right. In a lot of ways, not being one as well. The trial of the century, as it was. 30 years ago today, the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. It is 6:15. We have sports in 1 minute. So is he going to sign that extension? That story next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Not a lot to like for the Brewers last night. They fall 3-0 to the Blue Jays.
3-2, payoff pitch coming. Here it is. Swing and a miss, struck him out, and that will do it. Fastball at 95 finishes the crew tonight.
Now, Bob Uecker on the call there. That loss drops the Brew crew to 39-28 on the season. Still good enough for first place in the NL Central. Rookie pitcher Carlos Rodriguez made his MLB debut last night, and while it didn't result in a win, manager Pat Murphy says he's encouraged by what he saw out of his young right-hander.
You know, I'm really pleased. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he showed tremendous poise. Yeah, I was very pleased with what I saw. 22-year-old kid. Come out there and do what he did. Gets a really good lineup. I thought he handled himself very, very well. Didn't seem like a rookie at all. Didn't seem like, you know, first timer. I was encouraged.
And the two teams do wrap up their 3-game set at American Family Field this afternoon. Coverage on WTMJ at 12:35. Back to the practice field for the Green Bay Packers. Green and gold hit the gridiron for mandatory minicamp this week. While the offense and defense try to install new plays and create some on-field chemistry, questions continue to swirl around quarterback Jordan Love and his ongoing contract negotiations. The two sides reportedly deep in talks on a long-term deal. Love, sort of, spoke to reporters Tuesday, though you kind of get the sense he's tiring of the questions.
How have you handled this process in terms of, do you like to know what's going on and what's being said, or do you just try to disconnect?
What is that?
The process of what's going on in the contract.
Oh, yeah, I like being in the mix.
Doesn't get any better from here.
And that's that?
That's that. Keep it short, yeah. It is.
We've yet to find a topic you like talking about less than this one.
Less than that, he's not a big fan of it. Love currently set to play next season on a $10.5 million contract before he could hit unrestricted free agency in 2025.
Devastating news regarding Joey Chestnut! The hot dog eating champ is out. He's been banned from the upcoming Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest after he signed a sponsorship deal. You're not allowed to do that. You can't.
We learned just a couple days ago. Then we asked, we hope that this could is not true.
That is Major League Eating President Richard Shea speaking to ABC.
Joey Chestnut had a statement.
Yeah, he said he's kind of devastated that, you know, too bad. But
to the fans.
Mm-hmm. So what you can't do is you can't have a sponsorship deal with anything else. And he has one with a vegan hot dog brand, Impossible Foods. And because of that, he can't do the Nathan's.
We were told that there's no interest to reconsider. So we have to move on.
So that is it. Hey, you know what this reminds me of? Caitlin Clark in a lot of ways. Let's see how many people are watching the hot dogs now on July 4th. The only reason you went to Pfizer Forum Deer District, whenever that was last year when Joey was in town, Joey was in the building here. It was because of him.
Yeah, he's like an all-time great.
Yes, and now he's gone, and we'll see how many people pay attention to that.
For some Americans, a July 4th without Joey Chestnut may feel like a hot dog bun without a wiener.
Wisconsin's Morning News. Vince Vetrano is off. Eric Bilstead here along with Mike Spaulding. So MPS is moving forward now with a plan to correct some of its financial issues. They've submitted an updated draft for corrective action to the Department of Public Instruction. You may recall they submitted one last week that was a bit thin and was criticized for not really having many plans involved on it. So they have sent a new one now, and it does appear that it has a little bit more detail in what they're hoping they can do. They're going to look for another CFO. At some point, a search for an interim is underway. There are currently more than a dozen vacancies in the Office of Finance at MPS, which we would be concerned about, but they do have a plan to take care of that as well. So now the next step is for DPI to approve or deny the draft plan. Meanwhile, still have a budget to get through, and they're going to look at that tomorrow night as well. And it appears now there is a public hearing format added to that special meeting taking place on Thursday. There is also other discussion on how the mayor or the city can assist. Now, you may recall, this is what the mayor said last week.
There have been many voices out there, and I've heard them. I've heard the voices calling for a mayoral takeover of the public schools. But let me be very, very clear. That's not my objective. I'm not seeking to have the mayor's office take over schools in this city.
Yeah, so Mayor Johnson has said he's not looking to do that. You may recall, though, last week, the mayor did say, hey, we're going to let you use the city comptroller, though. City comptroller would be available to advise, can assist with some of the financial needs, and it would appear that that is happening since they're starting to make some headway now with DPI. The mayor also offered up some other ways that he could assist, even though he wouldn't want to take over.
As they're doing a national search for superintendent, when that field is winnowed down to the finalists, I want to have conversations and be a part of that interview process with whomever the superintendent finalists are. I want to have a say in that.
Yeah, so get it down to maybe two or three, and then I'll take a look-see.
Think they're going to use AI to do those initial interviews?
Oh, yes, because that's what companies are doing now. They're using just an AI cartoon character that you can talk to via Zoom.
For this MPS story, bigger picture, you know, what really stuck out to me, Eric, when you said how many vacancies there were in their front office,
essentially. Yeah, in their Office of Finance.
A dozen?
Mm-hmm.
We barely have a dozen people on the radio station here.
Right.
So, like, just looking at what does that look like, does that change at all for you as far as perception goes for the district? Or?
Well, a little bit. Well, a couple of things. It does seem like a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously that comes with how much money is being spent and how efficient things are. So, yes. And that's where oftentimes you'll hear people push for this idea of mayoral control. Yeah. And what that would look like. And again, regardless of your thoughts on Mayor Cavalier Johnson, the idea, though, is just in general, is this something that a city could use in an effort to enhance and improve the school district or all the schools of a city? Now, this has happened elsewhere. In Cleveland, the mayor there appoints the school board, so they're not electing it. They have a mayor that has control. Aaron Churchill is the Ohio Research Director for the Thomas B. Fordham Institute there in Ohio. He was on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on Tuesday discussing this.
When a mayor is sort of the figurehead of your school district, it does put a singular person in charge, and it gives him or her the responsibility to oversee a fiscally sound school system, one that's working to improve academics for all the kids in the community, one where you can even bring in different types of stakeholder groups than you could with a traditional arrangement. You can bring your business community in, probably a little easier. You can bring in your schools of choice that aren't necessarily run by the school district into that fold. The mayor has sort of this broader mandate to improve your city, and education's a big part of that.
Now, it appears to have been working now in Cleveland. Truancy is down. Test scores appear to be up in Cleveland where this is in place. Doesn't mean it works everywhere, but there are signs of something like this showing improvements in some districts. We'll see what ultimately happens here in Milwaukee. Where'd the bats go? That story at 6:45.
The Qdoba restaurant on Brady Street forced to temporarily close its doors. The Common Council of Milwaukee voting Tuesday to order the restaurant to shutter for 10 days. This after a customer say they found a razor blade in their burrito. The incident occurred back in November, says the Milwaukee Health Department. That customer didn't cut their mouth, but say they only found the blade after biting into their food.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not black beans.
No.
Roger Stokes is the owner of that Qdoba location. He spoke at the council meeting Tuesday, says the restaurant did take immediate action, removing all razor blades from the business.
Oh, good.
Replacing them with scissors. So it'd be a bigger issue, I think, if you found a pair of scissors in your burrito.
I guess so. I mean, I guess there's action being taken.
Nevertheless, biting into a food and finding like a hair is gross. Can you imagine?
Just, no, I don't want to.
Do you keep it?
The blade?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for this case, yes.
You to just make show people.
Look what I found in my burrito.
You guys want to get Qdoba or Chipotle? Oh, I'm going to get a Chipotle because the last time I was at a Qdoba, let me tell you what I found.
6:38. Elaine fights back. That story next. Remember when comedian Jerry Seinfeld was in the news back in April, made comments that irked a few folks?
Jerry Seinfeld misses the old days of getting home after a hard day and watching Cheers or MASH or Mary Tyler Moore.
You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it?
He tells the New Yorker Radio Hour he knows exactly what happened.
This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people.
Mm-hmm. That's Seinfeld there. He says that's why people these days are getting more into stand-up comedy because it's not really policed as much. So he was very, very critical of what's been taking place. ABC's Jason Nathanson with that story. Well, now Elaine Benes is responding. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was asked about it. She says that she believes that being aware of certain sensitivities is not a bad thing. But she also did say that if you look back at comedy and drama from the last 30 years, you might find some bits and pieces that don't age well. In fact, even with The Office, there's some episodes of The Office that just don't necessarily sit
seasons
as well now.
Seasons one and two, I think, would just not air at all.
It's just different now. But she went on to say, so she's been on NBC News. She's talked to the New York Times in this case. She's got a podcast that's pretty popular right now. She says, my feeling about it is that political correctness insofar as it equates to tolerance is obviously fantastic. And of course, I reserve the right to boo anyone who says anything that offends me, while I also respect the right to free speech. She also added that she believes the bigger threat to art is the consolidation of money and power. That's a bigger problem than someone being too sensitive at a joke. All the siloing of studios and outlets and streamers and distributors, I don't think it's good for the creative voice, she says.
I could see that. Plus, you have less power. In one sense, you have more power as a creator because you have any outlet. If you want to start a show and have it air only on Twitter, you can get viewers there. But at the same time, it's not like 88 million people, you know, are going to be watching a season finale or something like that. You're lucky if you get 2 or 3 million viewers for a network show.
Right. Excellent point. And what's with all these Seinfeld people being back on TV? Michael Richards was on recently.
I don't think it's a surprise that a show where there was no hugging and no learning, right? Wasn't that the Seinfeld kind of ethos for the show? Of course they all feel this way.
It is 6:45. We have sports in 1 minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Stop if you've heard this one before. The Brewers welcoming a new pitcher into their starting rotation. 22-year-old Carlos Rodriguez, fresh up from Nashville, made his first major league start Tuesday night.
And the pitch. Struck him out. Swinging. Put that one out of play. Absolutely. Strikeout. Carlos Rodriguez. High fastball and Horowitz missed it.
That's the first of 6 strikeouts for Rodriguez last night. Unfortunately, that outing ended in a loss. The Brewers fell to the Blue Jays 3-0. Still, manager Pat Murphy was encouraged by his young pitcher.
He'd take a few pitches back, but his fastball was very, very good, especially at the top. His changeup looked good at times. Slider was, you know, very, very good at times. So I thought, all in all, 22-year-old kid coming up here pitching the way he did, I thought he looked very, very good.
A rookie or no rookie, Eric, pitching yesterday wasn't the issue for the crew. The bats went cold again. They went 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that's the bigger problem.
Comes and goes, I think.
I don't know what else you could ask from a rookie pitcher.
Maybe a couple more innings, maybe.
Okay, fine.
They went 3 and a third last night.
But
silver
still.
Lining, though. Brewers still 39-28 on the season. They do have a 6-game lead in the NL Central. Yep. I think it's 6.5. The two teams will wrap up their 3-game set from AmFam this afternoon. Coverage on WTMJ's at 12:35. From the baseball diamond on to the gridiron, or at least to the practice field, the Packers began mandatory minicamp Tuesday in Green Bay. And while most of the action was on the field, quarterback Jordan Love couldn't escape questions about his life off of it, meaning those ongoing contract negotiations, no matter how hard he tried to defer.
How have you handled this process in terms of, do you like to know what's going on and what's being said, or do you just try to disconnect?
What is that?
The process of what's going on in the contract negotiations.
Oh, yeah, I like being in the mix.
And that's that?
That's that.
And wow. That's right. That.
We've yet to find a topic you like talking about less than this one.
Yeah, not a big fan of it. I don't know if you saw any of those press avails last
Then
yesterday.
Sign the extension. Let's get this over. You want us to stop asking about it, then get it done.
On everything else, QB1 was a little bit more lively. He was asked about hitting the ground running following a strong end to last season.
Yeah, just keep working. Get back to the mindset of just getting back to my own, working outside of here and getting back with my personal quarterback coach I work with. And just continuing to focus on the little details and things I want to keep working on and just make sure I'm in my best shape and ready to go once we come back.
It's camp runs through tomorrow. Training camp gets underway next month. Packers family nights, we're about 2 months away, set for August 3rd.
6:49, so this will be allowed near the RNC. It's raising eyebrows. We'll figure out whether or not to be concerned next. The Milwaukee Common Council now finalizing the soft security perimeter ordinance for the RNC. So this bans just about everything except guns. Common Council President Jose Perez says that's because state law prohibits the city from outright banning the gun.
We can't change it. We can't be in violation of it. Didn't think it was worth going to court, at least with my vote, and tying up a process that we know is in violation of the state statute.
Joining us in studio from 101.7 The Truth, Dr. Ken Harris, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant.
What did he just say?
You want to hear it again?
We can't change it. We can't be in violation of it. Didn't think it was worth going to court, at least with my vote, and tying up a process that we know is in violation of the state statute.
So he's going to pretend we don't have this thing called a constitution? He actually said state statute
instead of the.
But he'll violate the U.S. Constitution. But the state statute, that's important.
Wow.
And he's the Common Council president.
So the gun cannot be banned from the soft security perimeter. Is this a concern? Correct. Obviously, it's making headlines at this point.
These same folks have never banned guns in the city of Milwaukee with all the shootings, all the homicides, all the babies being killed. Now you care about guns? It's idiotic.
Well, do they really care? I think they'd prefer to ban them, wouldn't they?
Sure, they would prefer to ban them. But again, you're not doing anything about the illegal guns that are already here. Why would you care about some people walking around with a gun slung over their shoulder where they have a right to carry, to open carry? It doesn't make any sense.
So when this takes place, this doesn't necessarily mean that people will be walking around with rifles inside Pfizer Forum or anything like this. We're just talking about the soft security perimeter.
And you know, the soft security perimeter is like significantly far away.
Yeah.
So people there will have guns anyway. Like, who'll know?
Well, some will carry them to make a point, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you seem, as far as a security professional with all the officers on hand.
I was a law enforcement professional.
Okay. I apologize.
Now I'm a security guard.
That's not what I said.
Come on. I got to twist it.
Well, are you... If you were still in that law enforcement role, are you getting nervous, or are your spidey senses tingling at all as we get closer? Does it get nerves build a little bit?
One day, hey, no guns. Roll call, guns. Like, that's how it changed. Like, are you going to get upset that someone could? First of all, you didn't know whether they had one anyway. So now that they can legally carry one and you don't know about it, why would it bother you? At some point, you do your job, you have your training. And you trust it.
Dr. Ken Harris joins us from 101.7 The Truth. Had to ask you, so 30 years ago today.
Goodness.
30 years ago today, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were killed.
Okay. I don't care.
Why
would I care?
Well, maybe it's a cultural touchstone. Maybe
for you.
The one.
Maybe your culture. Oh, not,
you remember when this happened?
Sure, I do. I remember where I was.
Where were you?
In Fort Collins, Colorado, watching TV, going, "Wow!" at the hotel. Wow. Okay. I didn't care.
You're an officer. Trial of the century. This is the trial of the century.
Not really.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question anyways.
Sure.
Is this the moment where our society fissured a little bit and we have continued to fissure ever since?
It fissured before that. I think that's when people noticed. The hatred that people had for interracial relationships, the hatred that people had. I mean, the fact that Time Magazine took his picture and then darkened it
to make
him look more menacing. And then when they got caught, went, eh. Like, it's been like, what that trial showed is what people had been complaining about for decades. And now they finally reared their ugly head. You know, Mark Furman just lost the ability to, practice law because they have a new statute. And I'm like, how do you glorify a guy who literally, on recording, lied?
I do wonder if it's time if we're going to now officially move on. I saw Nicole Brown's sisters on TV on the networks the past week or so. Yeah. OJ's gone.
All
right. Is it time to not continue to rehash old history? And
it's family, and that's their right to grieve.
Of course. And, absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. Just do it on streaming or something. I don't
know. Dr. Ken Harris from 101.7 The Truth, former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.